This is Free Talk Live. It's the live Saturday edition of the program. Of course, you're invited here to take control of the airwaves. Just dial in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. If we get the chance tonight, we'll tell you what Ron Paul wants for Christmas, according to Ron Paul over at the Ron Paul Institute. If we get the chance, of course, you make a phone call and call in about anything you'd like. With you tonight, it's Ian here.
And Mark.
Mark on his last show for 2014.
That's correct.
You're heading out to a vacay, a much-deserved vacay with the family in Florida. So enjoy that in advance. And we're, of course, here to take your calls as always. The show will go on as it always does over the next few weeks. In fact, we intend to be on live on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and New Year's Eve. So be sure to join Free Talk Live throughout the holiday season because you still deserve live radio content.
Yeah, I want to thank all my hardworking coworkers for coming in on Christmas and Christmas Eve and those sorts of things.
Yeah, it'll be fun. So looking forward to it. There's interesting stuff in the news here tonight. Also, Mark, you're going to be telling us about a massive act of civil disobedience. Thousands of acts? Hundreds of them? How many?
A thousand.
Over a thousand.
Hundreds, I think, is accurate.
Over a thousand people participating in a mass act of civil disobedience, which, of course, warms my heart. We'll talk about that. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Let's go first to your calls and thoughts. We've got someone calling from the Seasteading Institute via Skype. Hello there.
Hello there. We're Seasteaders, and we're happy to talk to you guys.
Oh, well, welcome. What's your name?
My name is Joe Quirk. I'm a sea evangelist, and I got my boss, Randy Hinken, here.
Yeah, this is Randy Hinken. I'm the executive director of the Seasteading Institute, and that sea evangelist is our communication director.
Oh, hi, guys. Well, you're on with Ian and Mark here on Free Talk Live, and we're familiar with the Seasteading Institute on Free Talk Live, having talked about it a number of times in the past. What's the idea? I mean, for listeners that are not familiar, for new folks tuning into the show maybe for the first time tonight, what is seasteading?
The idea of seasteading is that 193 governments don't represent the range of ideas that 7 billion people have produced. And a lot of people have a lot of great ideas for governance, and there's no way for them to try it out. And the technology to create floating islands at sea is at hand and is coming soon. And we'd like to create floating cities in international waters.
Our goal is to go out there and create a marketplace for government. So those of us that are disenfranchised or unhappy with our current governments can try out the ideas that we can't try out right now.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, you know, governments are essentially monopolies, right? And monopolies are terrible at innovation. It would be, I think, foolhardy to assume that here in 2014, a mere 100 years, which is nothing in the course of human history, a mere 100 years from pooping in holes in the ground, that somehow we know today, as a matter of fact, the form of government we have was created when people still rode horses around and pooped in holes in the ground, that somehow that form of government is the highest pinnacle of governance that man could possibly know.
Yeah, and speaking of monopolies for 100 years, the FDA has held a monopoly on releasing rules and regulations with regard to medicine since 1906, I believe. And we've been petitioning them to find out where exactly their jurisdiction ends.
Hmm. Yeah, so that's what we want to talk about today. Over the course of this past week, we released a story to our subscribers for people who are signed up at seasteading.org. We've let them know about this quest that I went on this past year and 3 months. There's a thing called a voyage to nowhere, where right now, if a ship is sailing between two U.S. ports, it is regulated by the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol.
Okay.
And if it tries to use, if it wants to bring goods, services, or people, it has to be a U.S. flag ship. But there's a loophole in this law called Cruises to Nowhere or Voyages to Nowhere. And it says if you go out of a U.S. port out to international waters and back, you can be a non-U.S. flag ship. So all right. I was here, I live here in the Bay Area, I'm in Oakland, California right now, and I'm looking out at the Oakland port and noticing all these ships that have come from China and the Philippines, and thinking about all the laborers on those ships who aren't following U.S. labor laws, yet they're working in U.S. waters. And then I looked at the cruise ships and I thought, you know, those guys are traveling through U.S. waters. There's people not following U.S. labor law on there. And there's physicians that aren't U.S. physicians on there practicing medicine. And then I thought about the gambling casinos that most people know about, these gambling ships
sure.
that do these voyages to nowhere. They leave state waters, go out to federal waters or out to international waters in order to start gambling outside of a state that doesn't allow gambling. And I wondered, what if we could put a medical ship at sea doing the same idea? And it would make it easy for the customers, the patients, to get on the ship, perhaps here in Oakland, travel 12 miles out beyond U.S. territorial waters to international waters, and get a treatment that's not available currently in the United States. And some treatments we've thought about are like stem cell treatments, they're diabetic-type treatments that are legal elsewhere but aren't legal in the U.S. So we wanted to try to figure out what we could bring that closer
here. That's a pretty exciting idea. Now, would the idea be for these treatments to be offered by doctors who are licensed outside of the United States, or those who are licensed inside the United States, or unlicensed doctors? Who would be providing the treatments?
Well, you know, I think all of the above could be part of the option. And really what I just wanted to know was a simple question, is if the ship did this, would the FDA take jurisdiction over it? And before I asked the FDA, I went to the United States Customs and Border Patrol, and I sent them a letter, and I said, I know about these voyages to nowhere. Would that apply to medicine? And they wrote back, and they said, well, you're right about the voyages to nowhere, but we don't know about how it applies to medicine because that's not in our forte. You know, it doesn't follow under our purview. So then I started asking the FDA. Guys, it took me 6 weeks to find anybody at the FDA to even take my question. Mm. I started at the general office making phone calls. I sent emails. It was, you would think that there would be you know, a law office that could answer this simple question. Where does your jurisdiction
Bureaucrats are notorious for being unhelpful and unknowledgeable about their own laws. I mean, they just don't know anything. And in fact, when a bureaucrat tells you something, you don't know if what they're saying is true. They may be misinformed. Their interpretation may also end up being different than what the judge ultimately decides at the end of everything, you know, when if they do indeed come after you. So what did they say?
Absolutely right, but the difference between the Customs and Border Patrol saying I'm going to get you an answer in 90 days and getting me an answer in 60 days in writing versus the FDA, who I couldn't even find an office to talk to for 6 weeks. I would call I'd go on a website and say, okay, here's a legal department at the FDA, and I call them. I said, can I talk to Joe Schmo? Oh, Joe Schmo's not here. How about, you know, Bob? Well, Bob doesn't work here anymore. How about Tom? No, Tom doesn't work anymore. I'm like, is there anybody in this office listed on your website that's even there? And they're like, no, none of those people work here anymore. Finally, after all this time, I get somebody who says, I'm willing to take your inquiry. Super friendly, super nice. She says, it seems pretty easy. I'll get back to you in 2 weeks.
That was what, a year and 3 months ago?
A year and 3 months ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
you never got an answer from them?
We have not got an answer to this.
Is this incompetence in our bureaucracy?
I think the bureaucrats are faced with an impossible situation, which is they're not rewarded if something good happens. They are punished if something bad happens. And they just don't have any incentive to answer.
Right. So if you think of the greatest medical miracle that has occurred in the 20th century, whatever you might choose that to be, what you don't think of is the FDA bureaucrat that managed to give that the rubber stamp to send it through. No one gives these people a reward for doing the right thing. But if the wrong thing goes through, you darn sure better believe that the FDA is going to get blamed. And this is why I think that the bureaucracy is doomed. I mean, it's a terrible idea from the beginning.
All right, well, tell you what, guys, if you want to hang on, we can continue the discussion because I have a few more questions just in general about the Seasteading Institute. It's been a while since we've heard news about what y'all are up to, and it sounds like this is a pretty exciting project, giving people the opportunity.
It sounds like they're calling from land, which is bad news.
Giving people the opportunity to have medical procedures done that may not be strictly legal in the United States, which I think is it's a great idea. 855-450-FREE is the toll-free number. There's more coming up here on Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. It's the live Saturday edition. There's more on the way. Free Talk Live, it's the live Saturday edition of the program. You may dial toll-free here at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you tonight, you've got Ian.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com, where you can enjoy the features for free. Again, those other talk show hosts, they charge you for their websites, most of them. We give it away, and I bet you'll find more for free on our site than you will behind their paywalls. Go and see for yourself at freetalklive.com.
If you're anything like me, when you're watching movies or reading books, you're constantly seeing themes of collectivism and statism in the plots, and it kind of, you know, rubs you the wrong way. Well, that's not going to happen with In Freedom's Cause. In Freedom's Cause is a two CD set of audio theater. It's amazing. It's got its own score. It's got big name Hollywood actors. Actually, they're not all from Hollywood. Joanne Froggatt, for instance, English, but she's from Downton Abbey. Billy Boyd from Lord of the Rings. Skandar Keynes from Chronicles of Narnia. James Cosmo from Braveheart and Game of Thrones and Sons of Anarchy. Big name actors. And it's the story of William Wallace and Robert the Bruce. Now, it is, it's family friendly. The kids are going to love it. We listened to it with my son while we were, you know, working on the house, and he loved it. We loved it. We had a great time. I highly recommend In Freedom's Cause. It is, like I said, William Wallace and Robert the Bruce. And this is one of the greatest stories of human freedom, the struggle for human freedom in history. You can get the family four-pack at half price. Now, this is potentially four gifts for people on your list. If you've got young people in your life, this is a great stocking stuffer. At $50 for the family four-pack, that's $12.50 per gift. It's a great buy. You go to infreedomscause.com. Use the coupon code FTL. That's FTL as in Free Talk Live. Infreedomscause.com. You buy the family four-pack, use coupon code FTL, and you get half off. Infreedomscause.com, coupon code FTL.
We've got a couple of the guys from the Seasteading Institute on the line with us here. Joe and Randy have called in to explain how insanely difficult it has been to get a simple question answered about the idea of running essentially a hospital ship off in international waters, offshore from the United States. The idea being that you could, as a patient, you could go on this ship and then, in theory, have all kinds of interesting, you know, experimental procedures done that otherwise might not be legal in the United States due to the FDA. You guys were just simply trying to get the FDA to tell you.
It can take 17 years for something to get through the FDA.
Yeah.
You got a terminal disease.
Right. You might not make it. So you guys were just trying to get the FDA to explain to you whether or not they thought that this would be legal, whether or not, you know, how far their jurisdiction reaches. And it's been over a year and they've never gotten back to you. Is that right?
Yes. They promised to get back to us within 2 weeks and then continued to promise, yeah, we'll get back to you soon. Yeah, we'll get back to you soon. And the funniest thing watching Randy go through this is most of his correspondents were very earnest to reassure him that various functionaries at the FDA were looking into it, and this department's looking into it, and that person's taking care of it. So All these people apparently were given work, but nobody ever produced any answer, and they just kind of stopped calling us back.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that you know, people in the government, can't be that many people that work for the FDA. You know, they're given a task, and you know, several people are given this task, and they just fail at it.
Yeah. And we talked to some medical entrepreneurs that are interested in creating new regulatory bodies on the ocean that they think could take some of the burden off the FDA and create a new, more efficient way of approving things. And they tell us that the agents at the FDA, it's kind of not their fault. They're kind of in an impossible situation. More things come across their desk than they can ever evaluate. Mm-hmm. They're not equipped to evaluate it. As we said before, they're punished for disasters. They don't get any reward for innovations. It's not a market, it's a monopoly.
So, I mean, I generally like the idea of just asking forgiveness rather than permission and just going ahead and, you know, providing a service to the world rather than asking some government to grant you its approval first.
That's a big risk, though.
Well, there's
a lot of dollars
involved here. But, you know, have you considered approaching an attorney? Because ultimately, even if you did get an answer back from these people at the FDA, all it would be their legal opinion. And that would, you know, be as valid as any other legal opinion. So if you talk to an attorney who has experience with FDA-related cases and has actually gone to trial on some stuff, his opinion might be even more accurate than that of some bureaucrat working for the FDA. Now, again, maybe their attorneys would be the ones providing the opinion. But either way, it's all just opinions of attorneys up until the judges make the decision on it. And even then, it's still the opinion of attorneys.
And we did seek several attorneys' inputs.
What did they say?
Many of them say, you're on to something. That makes a lot of sense. Others told us, you could be right, but it might, cost tens or hundreds of millions of dollars in lawsuits to find out that you are right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this is really the enviable position that the government bureaucrats are in, is that when they decide, well, we're not sure on the law in this case, we're going to have to run it through court to find out what the court says, to find out what's legal and what isn't, they're just spending taxpayer money on one side. On the other side, could be hundreds of millions of dollars you spend in order to find out that you were free to do something. In the land of the free, you're not free to try.
Yeah, some of the smartest people in the world founded 23andMe, and 350,000 people signed up for their service.
Including me?
What is that?
go ahead, Joe. Tell them what it is.
Billions of dollars were invested. They were going in the right direction. Everything was exciting. And all of a sudden they were informed that their service is being redefined as a medical device. And they didn't see that coming.
Is this the DNA company?
Yeah, this is the DNA company.
Okay.
And all they're offering is information. They're offering me information about my genome.
Right.
And they're demanding that 23andMe explain, guarantee them that someone won't use that information to harm themselves.
Well, what if they're not based in the United States? What if they were based somewhere else? Like, couldn't the boat be based in another country and just not come to the United States beyond to pick people up? And then how would they be able to regulate?
That's what they're proposing.
How would they regulate that at all if it's not a U.S.-based corporation?
They'll do what they want.
Or whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're proposing. And, quite frankly, it's not that we had the ship business set up. We were trying to pave the path for somebody else to do it. And considering a ship-based business would cost, tens of millions of dollars to start, we thought if we simply had, the same letter we have from the Customs and Border Patrol that said, that's beyond our purview, then we could go to the entrepreneurs and investors we know and we could encourage them to start the business. I understand the idea that, maybe we could have, asked for forgiveness rather than permission, but with so many millions of dollars at stake, we chose the other route.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't blame people for going that route. It's just unfortunate that in a lot of cases that'll end up killing innovation simply because, now you're at a standstill. You don't have an answer from these people. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. And the things we're proposing are not, I think the things that would operate on such ships wouldn't be such radical technologies. They'd be biotherapies that are available in other countries. I mean, we know stem cell physicians who treated hundreds of people successfully with a certain kind of stem cell therapy, and then they were informed by the FDA that it's no longer legal simply because they redefined stem cells as drugs once they're taken outside the body and processed. And then those companies simply moved to the Cayman Islands. 23andMe has set up operations in Canada. I mean, there's all sorts of relatively safe therapies that are rendered illegal.
Yeah, guys, can you stick with us for another segment?
It isn't labor law driving out
innovation.
Hang on,
Mark. Can you guys stick with us for another segment?
Yeah, one more segment. Be happy
all right,
to.
More here in moments with the Seasteading Institute.
Are you searching for your soulmate? Someone you can trust who will never betray you or cooperate with the NSA? Stop searching. With EasyDNS, you found a keeper. EasyDNS does it all. Domain names, web hosting, and managed WordPress hosting. EasyDNS stands up for your internet freedom, and with servers in Canada, they do not cooperate with the NSA. Go to EasyDNS.com. You'll love their services or get a full refund. They guarantee it. And they accept Bitcoin. That's EasyDNS.com.
It's Free Talk Live, the live Saturday edition of the program. You dial toll-free to bring up anything at 855-450-FREE. With you tonight, Ian here.
And Mark.
We've got a couple of the guys from the Seasteading Institute on the line with us here via Skype. We're going to continue with them here in just a moment.
Christmas is next week. If you haven't done your shopping or you haven't done enough shopping, you really need to get on the stick. But don't get your tinsel in a tangle. We have a great idea for you. decadent, fresh, juicy, sweet, and irresistible berries dipped in tempting white milk and dark chocolatey goodness. These are Sherry's berries. You've probably heard about them, but you might be like, oh, well, you know, I mean, dipped strawberries. Fine. I had never tasted anything this good. They are the best tasting thing. You can get, they start at $19.99, and that's over a 40% savings, or, and I recommend this highly, double the berries for just 10 bucks more. And all you have to do to get that savings is to use coupon code FTL. You go to berries.com, B-E-R-R-I-E-S, berries.com, and there'll be a microphone in the upper right-hand corner. You click on that, you enter coupon code FTL, you'll get the savings. I highly recommend these gifts. You're really going to enjoy them. Whoever you get them for is going to really enjoy them. Double them. That way, if you're around when they're there, you can actually have some, because they're going to eat them all if you just get the single order. Berries.com, coupon code FTL. You click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, or you can call them at 866-FRUIT-02. You'll need the coupon code FTL again. 866-FRUIT-02, berries.com.
All right, we've got a couple of the guys from the Seasteading Institute. Joe and Randy are on the line with us here, and they're on via Skype. Our Skype username is lrn.fm. Guys, you were telling us about the idea of having kind of a hospital ship that would exist in international waters where people could get treatments that may not be legal yet in their country. You've kind of been trying to go through the legal channels of getting this done, and it has been a time-consuming and ultimately unsuccessful process in that you cannot get an answer from the FDA. What was your plan of action at this point?
Well, at this point, I think we're going to have seasteads in international waters, unless the FDA wants to tell us that we can take a ship to nowhere mm-hmm. and offer people some of these treatments. And we've met a few medical entrepreneurs that are very interested in creating new regulatory structures on the water that would take some of the burdens off the FDA and create a more efficient process, because the FDA in general just has no incentive to make things more efficient. And it's not really any individual's fault. It's the problem of the incentives that exist inside any monopoly.
What's the point of creating more regulations? I mean, aren't regulations the problem? Aren't they, what's stagnating the medical industry, preventing innovation from happening in the first place? Why do you want to have more regulations?
Well, if you think of market-based regulations, I mean, markets regulate themselves in many ways. Mm-hmm. And then the industry usually, over time, will evolve its own rules based on sort of competition. So you don't just need competition between medical entrepreneurs. You need competition between the regulatory bodies themselves.
Is regulation, I mean, to me, that's a bad word. How about like certifying? I mean, I know that in the technical field, like in IT, there's different certifications. There aren't industry regulations per se, as much as there are maybe industry standards and certifications that are available. But the term regulation to me just kind of drips of government. It doesn't feel that way to you?
It does a little bit. I mean, a lot of people apply the term regulation just to markets, and maybe somebody smarter than me could come up with a better, more seductive word for what you and I are referring to. But we can agree that a monopoly of rule production just accumulates more and more rules, Very few of these rules ever go away, and we simply can't micromanage the future with laws now. And I always say that, medical innovations becoming available in 2020 shouldn't be held back by rules written in 1970.
We know that there's a place called the Surgery Center of Oklahoma, and I believe there's other places opening up like this that essentially they have sloughed off the bureaucracy of, in many cases, in many of the government bureaucracies that go into payments and also – it's mostly it comes from insurance. When you accept insurance, you take all these rules the government has that are piled up, and their costs are a tenth in some cases, one tenth. Yes. 90% of the cost of medicine in this country is bureaucracy set up by the government. I mean, who, why? And then people complain about how the average person can't afford medicine. The average person can afford medicine just fine. It's the government bureaucracy that's mandated that they can't afford.
Yes, and if we could operate outside this bureaucracy, we could drive prices down, make services go faster. This is the way markets work in every other industry. And it's not a radical idea. I mean, physicians, like the ones you mentioned, are sick of it and stepping outside the paradigm. Mm-hmm. And people are soliciting us, telling us they want to move offshore.
Wow.
And move things forward.
Well, that's exciting.
This Voyagers to Nowhere project we worked on, it was really just one small thing that we did on the side. Our bigger project is our floating city project.
Right.
We'll call you back and talk to you about that maybe next month.
Okay,
but
sure.
Our goal is to try to get an actual floating city happening before the end of this decade.
Okay, and I was going to ask you. That was going to be one of my questions.
Right, I donated to this, so I want to hear a little bit about it.
Well, thank you.
What are you doing with my money?
And let me use that opportunity to remind people it is the end of the year and we are a nonprofit and you can donate to us at seasteading.org. But we are full steam ahead with the Floating City Project. We put out a report that came out with designs. I'm working with architects, engineers. We have a model of our floating, you know, the modules going into a wave tank this month at the University of New Orleans. Mm. We have a potential location we're working with, but we're also looking at others. So there's a lot of information about it. We could talk for the next 2 hours about it right now. But check out seasteading.org/floating-city-project or just find the link. And I'll call you back next month and talk about it.
You know, people are constantly telling folks that want more freedom in their lives, if you don't like it, why don't you move to Somalia? And what they mean is why don't you go someplace and try this idea of more freedom you're talking about? I mean, this is the freest country on earth, and just because it's slipping down the charts of freedom compared to the rest of the countries, you should ignore that. And I think that that's what seasteading really is about. It's like, okay, well, the technology has gotten to the point that we really can create bodies of people out on the water. And I think that it's a fine idea. Let's put some real competition out there, because what seems to happen on the land is that people that crave power extract the wealth of hardworking people and do whatever they do with it, whether they, you know, make weapons to kill people or whether they give it to other folks and skim off half of it in their name, just keeping quite a bit for themselves. Whatever it is that they do, they're inefficient at everything that they attempt. Let's take a look at the FDA for a second. And let's just try something new. And the only way to try that is to get out there and create new places. And all the places are gone.
I wanted to thank you guys for calling in tonight. I appreciate it. It was very interesting. And I'm glad to know that some people are trying to innovate and think outside the United States box in order to do so.
Thanks for having us on. And I do want to say, Joe did a really good job writing up this story. It's a lot of fun to read. You can find it on our blog. We put it out in 5 parts. So I encourage people to read the whole recount of it.
All right. Thanks for the call tonight, guys. That's a couple of the guys from the Seasteading Institute. And Mark, you've been a big proponent of this as an idea, the idea of let's take people from all around the world and go set up a more free place in the one place where there's no jurisdiction.
Not much jurisdiction. I mean, governments still claim some jurisdiction out in the open
in international
in the high
waters?
Seas. Well, I mean, you know, there's maritime
the
law, right? Who enforces maritime law?
I don't know. The UN? I don't know.
Well, maritime law has been around longer than the UN. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they've got their dirty little fingers in it.
But who does enforce maritime law?
I would have to research that. I don't know the answer to that, but I can tell you that when you're talking about, if you want to start your own free place here in the United States, you're going to have a difficult time doing it. If you want to try to do it in some other country, you're gonna have a terrible time doing it.
Look at the Free State Project. I mean, it is not an easy road that we're on here, but I don't know if seasteading is gonna be an easy road when all said and done either. We'll come back with
more
here in moments. 855-450-FREE. And of course, the Free State Project is happening. There are over 1,600 people who are here now. It's not some sort of future thing that might happen. We're coming up. It's Free Talk Live, the live Saturday edition of the program. We're here, and we'll take your calls about anything you want to discuss. Coming up, what does Ron Paul want for Christmas? We'll share that with you, and of course, you can share your thoughts with us. We're on Skype, by the way. You can Skype into the show at username lrn.fm. That's where our guests were actually on the line. I actually didn't know they were going to be on tonight, Mark, until they called 5 minutes before the show.
They're not guests. They're a call.
Oh, okay. Good to know. And so interesting stuff with the Seasteading Institute, the idea, of course, being to take it to the high seas, this whole freedom thing. It's hard to get going in a place where there's a government ruling. But what if you do it in international waters? What if you created your own community? Or in this case, they were talking about like a medical ship, but it could be anything. It could be any kind of a tech incubator ship or, you know, some sort of entrepreneurial ship, food ships. Who knows what kind of stuff they could come up with.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about a cruise ship, they do all kinds of things there that and can do so much more that probably wouldn't be regulated at all. For instance, I know that in many European countries, there's no limit and there's no age as far as consumption of alcohol goes. So, you know, young people out on a cruise ship could probably drink alcohol. I'm not a lawyer. You shouldn't take this as lawyering advice. Mm-hmm. Certainly cruise ships do gambling out there. You know, what other things could it be? What other just sort of restrictions that are here in the United States that are somehow supposed to make it a better world, but in fact make it that much more arduous, employ a bunch of useless government bureaucrats to enforce? How could we make the world better just by being outside of the jurisdiction of the U.S.?
Well, of course, you can share your thoughts with us. The seasteading thing, it sounds like it's got some money behind it. They seem to be well organized. They were just saying they're going to be testing out one of their models in a wave pool or something like that, which is very exciting. Sounds like they're, you know, well on the way towards coming up with a proof of concept. Of course, it's in competition with the Free State Project.
It's not in competition with the Free State Project.
No?
Something entirely different.
Why? Why is that different? The idea is to move people to the same place, isn't it?
Well, okay, so with the Free State Project, I think I think it's going to be an evolution when it comes to these things. I mean, the Free State Project, say New Hampshire, one of the freest places on the planet is what the Free State Project's based on. That's where we're based. You take a look at the charts around the world, you see the United States is meh, sometimes in the top 10, sometimes not in the top 10 of freest places, depending on what you're looking at. New Hampshire, however, has been 3 out of the 5 times the Mercatus Center's done the study, been the freest place. So if you assume that that's an aggregate of, you know, the U.S. being, say, 12th or whatever in the world as far as economic freedom, New Hampshire may be a little bit higher on that chart.
Where did I see? Was it Mercatus Center? I saw some kind of study recently that looked at North America. Uh-huh. So it looked at Mexican states, Canadian provinces, and it looked at U.S. states. Mm-hmm. And it ranked them all based on economic freedom.
I'm not familiar with that, no.
New Hampshire was up in the top 5 or 6. So there was like 2 or 3 Canadian
just
places.
Just economic freedom?
Yeah. I think it was economic freedom. I don't recall exactly. But
well, I don't
New
know
Hampshire
the study you're talking about.
It was up there for sure.
So New Hampshire is one of the freest places on the planet.
Yeah.
But, you know, with New Hampshire, there's still 300 years of laws all piled up, and many of them are irrelevant to our lives. So, for instance, it's illegal to conduct business on Sunday in New Hampshire. Nobody enforces this law, but it exists, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
So,
there's a real attraction to just going out and starting fresh.
Right.
There's
so
no doubt.
If you're talking about going in and out in international waters, say you're talking about negative 10 as far as freedom is zero. You go out in international waters, you're at negative 10. New Hampshire's at negative 100. California's at negative 200.
Mm-hmm.
People choose what they choose for a variety of reasons. You know, New Hampshire gives you firm land underneath your feet.
There is that.
It's a lot. Probably going to be a lot cheaper than going out on the water.
It'll get cheaper to go out on the water
it
eventually.
It certainly will. All technologies get cheaper as people adopt them.
But you're still looking for the same kind of person. You're still looking for the person with a vision.
Not really.
For the future,
okay,
who's willing to take a risk.
No, you're absolutely wrong. You're looking for poor people to move to New Hampshire, but people of poor and middle concerns to move to New Hampshire.
Specification as to how rich you have to be to move to New Hampshire, Mark. That's not the case at all.
Business law in New Hampshire is not great. When you take a look at the Mercatus Center study and you look at opening a business in New Hampshire, you'll see, this is just your average crappy state when it comes to opening a business as far as freedom goes there. When you move your business out on the water, however, you slough off a myriad of regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, you're going to have workers depending on your type of business, but many businesses are going to be very interested in going out on the water because they're going to be able to get rid of those regulations. Then people will be attracted to those businesses for jobs and that sort of thing. New Hampshire's really in a different sphere.
You know, I mean, I guess I understand the argument that you're making, but I still think it has to – both of these movements are competing to some extent because they're trying to attract the people who are willing to take that risk. And I understand that you're saying that maybe people who have more capital to invest would be more interested in moving out on the water, of course, depending on the kind of business they're doing. Obviously, if they're a well drilling business, they're probably not going to do very well out on the water. So it depends.
You're talking water wells. Yeah. Lots of people drill wells out in the water. They're usually digging for oil, though.
No, I meant like a water well. There's certain types of businesses.
The plumber
just not
isn't
going to
do so good there.
Well, there's probably going to be plumbing on the ships, I would expect, but you know, not as much business will be there initially for those folks. But okay, I can see maybe the seasteading thing being more attractive to people who are already in business or who want to get into business and have some money behind them. But I think those people are also going to be attracted to New Hampshire as well because of the huge liberty community here. And whether or not you've got money, there's still risk involved in either one of these things. I mean, picking up your existing business and moving that, whether it's out to sea or moving into New Hampshire, is an expensive, risky process. And if you don't have a bunch of money, there's still risk involved. You still have to take that jump and take that leap into doing something different. There's a special kind of person that it takes to uproot themselves from where they are, no matter what their economic strata, to say, yes, I see some sort of vision for something different on the horizon, and I'm willing to go for that. That's a very, very small group of people, and I think that there is some competition.
Okay,
going
so
on
there's
here.
Competition, and I think that's wonderful. Competition makes businesses that survive better.
Good. I'm glad you're admitting it. Let's go.
Well,
to
I don't think it's that much of a competition. I wouldn't move my business. I wouldn't be that interested in moving my business to New Hampshire.
Temper is in legal. Well, thankfully there are people who are moving their businesses here, Mark. And you did move your business here, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I followed
about.
You.
Temper, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hey, I have an idea where maybe you could move your quote unquote business to Seastead without actually relocating. What if they started building data centers?
I think that's going to be the first thing.
Well, doesn't Google already do that?
Well, the reason why Google did it is basically for thermodynamics. You can use the water to offload the heat from these data centers, but they actually were going to stay inside of U.S. domain, use rivers and stuff like that. But if you... went 10 miles out or whatever the international
13?
Water barrier is.
13?
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a fine idea. And I think that the more investors and business folks we can see jumping on board, it's going to get more attractive to others to come on board for the seasteading. I wish them the best. I hope it does work out for them. I'll certainly be watching with interest. Temper, anything else you want to share?
If you look at what's going on with that Sony debacle right now, where they stopped the interview from releasing, mm-hmm. and then the president kind of got his nose into it, and then immediately after they talked about how horrible it was, they talked about the need to rein in the wild, wild west that is the internet. You can kind of see that they're really capitalizing on this situation to try to get, I believe CISPA is back alive all of a sudden.
Yeah, this is
a privacy invading federal
government
set.
Yeah, potential.
Temper, thanks for your call, man. I appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. This whole Sony hack situation, I guess there was some discussion on your show on Thursday night, Mark, on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, we talked about it, sure.
And how, this federal government is saying they think it was North Korea, but Wired.com has an article saying the evidence that it was North Korea is very, very flimsy.
Yeah, people are moving forward with the idea that North Korea is behind the hack. And I'm not disagreeing North Korea is behind the hack. I would suggest that North Korea doesn't have, quite possibly doesn't have the acumen and the technological equipment to do the hacking, that maybe they contracted it out to some other organization. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that they're pretty close with places like Russia and China, which are known for some hacking. Maybe they, did some stuff there. Both of those countries, I believe, are right on the border of North Korea. So... Maybe it was them. I don't know the answer, but...
So I don't think I believe the claim that it was some sort of Sony conspiracy to promote their movie, because they're releasing all these emails from the Sony executives, and those aren't things they would have wanted to be released. And in fact, there's now emails coming out where Sony executives are saying they think this movie would have sucked and it was going to flop.
Well, I think that it would have flopped until...
It looked awful.
There's more promotion.
Coming up here. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE.
Khalid lives in Gaza. He makes his living as a taxi driver. The engine in his old beater blew up. Now, he makes good money driving people in his cab, but he couldn't afford the $1,300 for a new engine. Free Talk Live helped him get a loan for the engine, and he's back on the road. You can help us help more people by getting your coffee through coffee.freetalklive.com. Make a difference, one cup at a time. Get a free pound to try out the subscription. Cancel anytime. coffee.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Welcome back. More live Saturday edition continues here, and we'll take your calls about anything at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Coming up, massive gun civil disobedience. I like the sound of that. Civil disobedience, I think, is a very important thing for activists to keep in their quiver of options. And apparently there's been a record-setting instance of civil disobedience. Mark has the story. He'll be telling us about that. And, of course, you can bring up anything. We've got Skype at username lrn.fm. And that's where we're going to go to start things out this hour with Dalek. ANCAP is online with us here via Skype. Dalek, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good, sir. Go ahead with your thoughts tonight.
Okay, so when I was listening to the Seasetting Institute and when they were calling in, and they were talking about the medical team and how they were trying to have a little bit of blockade, I thought about there was a Vice documentary on, like, the future of war.
On the what?
On the future of war. Okay. Basically, what happened is that that there was an infirmary that has, like, a medical bay, and they can fix you up and patch you up. It's a Chinese boat that can be mobile. When I was kind of thinking about that, maybe that could happen. It's just I don't know how to since maybe most people are kind of come from the U.S. I don't know if it's going to be U.S.-based or European-based. I have no idea.
You're talking about the boat that's being proposed by the folks from the Seasteading Institute that would provide medical services to people presumably around the world, but it would be primarily based off of some country's shore. You're trying to determine which area it will be based?
When I would consider that, because I know that the infirmary that was on the Vice documentary was that it was Chinese. It was a Chinese infirmary. I just don't know if it's going to be, since it would be probably, presumably, European-based or
I don't know. They were talking about something off of the coast of California, it sounded like. So I would guess they would put this thing wherever it is the market would demand. I mean, wherever it is that would be most convenient for people to somehow get to would likely be where it'll end up.
Yeah, they've got medical tourism where one can go to, Thailand, or you can go to, a variety of different countries out there. India, I know, has it. What was that advertiser we had?
Asia Run Like Hell Guide?
Yeah, AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com. We had advertised with us at one point, and they were talking about taking people to Thailand. There's medical tourism already if people want that. I think what people want is something close to their house that doesn't seem so foreign to them. Oklahoma City has the Oklahoma Surgery Center, and that's really free market if you go to their website.
Is that the one taking Bitcoin?
I believe they are taking Bitcoin.
That's
pretty cool. Very, very innovative stuff going on there, but nothing like that going on in California. So if you can have that, off the coast of San Francisco or Los Angeles, you have an incredible marketplace sitting within a few miles of you, and all you have to do is get them out there for whatever surgery they want.
Exactly.
Dalek, anything else you want to share tonight?
Nothing really much. I'm just kind of concerning. Maybe it could happen. I mean, just for getting in a hospital outside of from the States, I think it could happen. It's just a matter of when and if. Well, it I already said if. It's just a matter of when.
Basically. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate the optimism. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. You know, somebody else who's pretty optimistic, all things considered, Ron Paul. You got to hand it to that guy, having spent so many years in Washington, D.C. He's finally escaped. It's not like, you know, Ron Paul being in D.C. was actually increasing liberty for anyone, but at the very least, he was talking about it and bringing people's attention to the ideas of freedom, and he's still doing that as just regular old Ron Paul.
God bless him.
No longer representative Ron Paul. He's writing over at his Ron Paul Institute, as republished by LouRockwell.com. And this is, "All I want for Christmas is a real government," says Ron. "The political class breathed a sigh of relief on Saturday," that's last Saturday, "when the U.S. Senate averted a government shutdown by passing the $1.1 trillion omnibus spending bill."
Yay.
"This year's omnibus resembles omnibuses."
Omnibus. Yeah, it just really sets my heart at ease when I hear that word. I have no idea what it means, but it just sounds...
It's big. It
gigantic.
Sounds big.
Yeah. We at the government have decided to spend more of your money because we're so good at it, because 200 years of spending up to this point where we've actually never paid off the debt, we've shown it how competent we are.
This isn't just any old bus. This is the omnibus.
Omnibus.
So it resembles omnibuses of Christmas past in that it was drafted in secret, was full of special interest deals,
oh, yeah,
and disguised spending increases, and was voted on before most members could
possibly read it.
All right. "The debate over the omnibus may have made for entertaining political theater, but the outcome was never in doubt. Most House and Senate members are so terrified of another government shutdown, they'd rather vote for a 1,774-page bill they've not read than risk even a 1 or 2 day government shutdown."
Right. They call this the do-nothing Congress because, you know, Congress gets nothing done. Thank God! I mean, what do you expect a group of lawyers with nearly unlimited power to do that's good?
I have no expectations besides the fact that they'll just continue to destroy people's freedom.
I think it's fascinating that people in the United States, and this is true around the world, but I mean, this is largely in a U.S.-based show, that they use the term politician as synonymous with thief and liar, but that they somehow expect the government to do good for them. I mean, what kind of backwards thinking is that?
There's just not much thinking involved there, Mark, I don't think.
Yeah, it's faith. You were told for 13 years while you were in government school that the government does good stuff. Yeah, it's sausage-making process, but, you know, it's ugly when they do it. But, you know, it's all in all, it's pretty good. No, it's not. It's pretty bad.
"The political class's shutdown phobia is particularly puzzling," says Ron Paul, "because a shutdown only closes 20% of the federal government." As the American
people... It just sounds bad.
Yeah, as the American people learn... Well, sounds good to me, but from the politician's perspective, they don't want to be... painted with responsibility for the shutdown.
They'd hate to be looked as I don't know, lazy.
As the American people learned during the government shutdown of 2013, the country can survive with 20% less government. Instead of panicking over a limited shutdown, a true pro-liberty Congress would be eagerly drawing up plans to permanently close most of the federal government, starting with the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve's inflation...
He does hate the Federal Reserve.
It's a big problem.
No, it is a huge problem. I think it's problem number one, but it's difficult to explain to people. When the government – monopolies tend to provide poor service, have bad innovation, and why in the world would you want to give the government a monopoly on money? I mean, money is just a medium of exchange. Can't people compete against the government when it comes to money?
No. No, they can't. Bernard von Nothaus was sentenced to 3 years probation for supposedly – they called it counterfeiting. They claim he was counterfeiting U.S. currency when, in point of fact, he was creating his own original currency
made of silver.
Liberty dollar.
Yeah, made of silver, right. Something of value as opposed to paper and pot metal like our money is made of. And I just want to know, if you're out there in radio land listening to me and you have a reason why the U.S. government needs, and basically, since the U.S. government is tied to the petrodollar, I mean, you know, the most business is done in U.S. dollars. It basically has a monopoly on world markets in the U.S. dollar. Tell me why I benefit from this, why this is good, why I should not want competition in the area of money. And if you can't, then why in the world would you support the Federal Reserve and the United States government's handing over their money-making power to a group of unaccountable bankers?
Well, I wouldn't support it if the Federal Reserve were shut down and the government then took control of all of the money aspects. I mean, that would really be an improvement.
I don't think monopolies are a good idea generally. People, you know, rarely is the marketplace served well by a monopoly.
I can
tell you who's served well by monopolies, the people who have the monopoly.
Shut it down and replace it with nothing. Let the market decide what the money should be. Going on with the story from LouRockwell.com and Ron Paul, the Federal Reserve's inflationary policies not only degrade the average American standard of living, they also allow Congress to run up huge deficits. Not to mention that, and he doesn't mention it here, but the Federal Reserve also empowers the government to expand beyond its ability to directly tax, meaning that when they print money up, they can just use that to grow the government without actually having to raise the supposed tax rate. More coming up here in moments. 855-450-FREE. You may share your thoughts here on Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. It's the live Saturday edition of the program. You dial toll-free here to bring up anything that you like. 855-450-FREE is the number. That's 855-450-3733. Still to come tonight. Of course, you can call in about anything you'd like to discuss. On the way, Mark will tell us about massive gun civil disobedience.
Yeah, I was going out to deal with my outdoor wood boiler today, and the snow was crunching under my feet, and I thought, it sure is going to be nice to head off to Acapulco at the end of February. I'm going for Anarchapulco. It's an event put on by Jeff Berwick from the Dollar Vigilante, and he's building Acapulco as the new Liberty destination. And I want to see for myself. I figure Anarchapulco is an event, and it's at the perfect time to go take a look. Speakers, of course, are going to include, obviously, Jeff Berwick and Angel Clark, who she moved there recently. But Roger Ver will be there, the guy known as Bitcoin Jesus. Cody Wilson, the creator of the Liberator, that printable plastic gun that got so much news about last year. Nima V, the Liberty rap artist. Objectivist Girl, obviously, talking about objectivism. Luke Rudkowski, who is a Liberty-oriented journalist. And Dana Martin, expert in unschooling, specific type of homeschooling called unschooling. Ernie Hancock, the creator of Freedom's Phoenix, and a whole bunch more. So what more reason do you need to go to Acapulco in February? It's going to be awesome. Hotels are very reasonably priced this time of year. Tickets are less than $100 if you register by Christmas. There are going to be workshops all week, but the action really heats up on the weekend. February the 27th through March the 1st is the main event, but of course there's the workshops earlier in the week. I'm very interested in the unschooling stuff that might be going on. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to that event. Depends on how ticketing goes for my wife and I. But go take a look at the schedule and see what works for you. It's anarchapulco.com, and it's the new Liberty destination. Let me repeat it for you nice and slow so you can type it out. And Google will find it for you, too. Anarchapulco.com.
All right, let's go to your calls and thoughts. Crichton is on the line in Kentucky. You're on Free Talk Live. Crichton.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I wanted to talk about the normalization of diplomatic relations between the federal government of the United States and that of Cuba.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic, and it's getting a lot of press right now.
We did cover it last night, but I'd love to talk about it further, so go ahead.
Yeah, what you didn't talk about last night, I think that what's been overlooked is that President Obama has done this correct thing for a entirely wrong reason.
Okay.
That's what the government does. When they do something correct, it's usually for the wrong reason.
And I think I know what the wrong reason is.
Okay.
I think it's related to a geopolitical play between Russia and the U.S. government, well, Russian government and U.S. government.
Okay.
I found out yesterday that this whole, they're having talks, secret talks, for about 18 months, which is about the same period of time that the Ukraine has the federal government of the United States has been messing with Ukraine.
Ukraine.
Yeah, and I think you got to keep in mind that a lot of geopolitics involves spheres of influence around general areas. And, of course, Cuba is really close to the United States. It's only 90 miles away. And Ukraine is even closer to Russia. And as we mess with their sphere of influence, as our government messes with the government's sphere of influence of Russia, they in turn do it to us. And there have been, you know, not widely reported events between Russia and Cuba as well, because they never really had bad relations between Russia and Cuba. Even though Russia isn't really communist anymore, and Cuba really is, they don't really dislike each other. So I think this is Obama's attempt to make friends closer to home as best he can. He's being outplayed in a geopolitical chessboard, and this is his move.
Okay, you know, that seems like a reasonable speculation.
I think it's
as reasonable as any other.
I think it's as it fine as reason as any for people in Cuba to have a better life. I have heard people sort of caterwauling about this, and I have yet to hear what I consider to be a good reason
to not listen to restrictions.
Yeah, so there's certainly some restrictions that are still in place, and I tend to think that the government, when it gets rid of some restrictions but keeps other restrictions, that it's picking winners and losers. Like, for instance, if you have five kids, you line them up on the starting line, you tell two of them they can go and run towards the starting line, and the others, they have to wait 10 seconds. The two who got a chance to run are going to do a lot better than the three that had to stay behind.
Crichton, thanks for your call tonight. You know, just to summarize, Mark, from our show last night, because we did bring this topic up, talked quite a bit about it, and I also threw out that question at that time, a very similar question. Like, if you are in favor of continuing the embargo against Cuba, which, by the way, it's still partially continued. There's still travel restrictions, and they've just lessened some of the restrictions at this point, as well as done a prisoner exchange. The Cuban government has also promised to make internet access more available to their people, as well as releasing dozens of their own political prisoners back into Cuba. So there's some interesting things that have happened here, but by no means has the embargo been entirely lifted, although I would like to see that. And so my question was, you know, well, if you are against the lifting of the embargo to any extent, we'd love to hear from you as to why that is. We didn't get much of an intelligent response. I read some of the
Facebook. I hate Obama and stuff.
Yeah, you know, there was that. So there was just kind of this response that you could presume was coming from the right, that anything Obama does is bad, so that's why we don't like it. And what's he going to do next? Is he going to the kind of the position? We read some of the quotes from some of the talk show hosts out there, like Michael Savage and Rush Limbaugh. Since no one was bothering to call in and explain it to us, we figured we'd go to the, you know, the other talk show hosts and see what they were.
Right. Rush Limbaugh has never seen a Democratic president do anything he's liked once.
Right. And so the general viewpoint from the other talk show hosts was, you know, sort of this fear-mongering viewpoint of, my God, everything in the world's changing because of Barack Obama, and what's he going to do next? You know, is he going to make it so that lessen the restrictions on North Korea? You know, that was the kind of response. And then from the
other
side.
Well, I hope they do lessen the restrictions on North Korea, because a Republican president lessened the restrictions on China. And look, you can say whatever you want about the Chinese government, but you can't say that the Chinese people don't have a better life than they did 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Let's go to John. He's in Minnesota listening to WNMT. Hey, John.
Yeah. What about this deal? Who suggested this to Obama to do this?
I don't know. Do you expect me to know that?
Yeah, well, the Pope was over here talking to him a while back, and I don't know if he just told him to do it or suggested it.
All right, let's go into the realm of wild speculation. Let's say the Pope told him to do it.
Well, no, it's being officially reported that the Pope did help sort of broker
this
deal.
He did say some stuff like that, but popes before him have said that too. I mean, it's no shortage of popes that have said, hey, let's see fewer restrictions, and I think embargoes certainly hurt poor people.
John, if you had more to say, hang on, we can bring him back. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. So there was the viewpoint of Obama, it's bad, and then there was another viewpoint. I'll summarize that coming up. Free Talk Live. Your thoughts are welcome.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more.
It's a department store at your fingertips. Shop.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, get a great deal, and a portion of your purchase goes to benefit Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon via shop.freetalklive.com. This is Free Talk Live. It's the live Saturday edition of the program. 855-450-FREE is the number. That's 855-450-3733. Hey, you can join us on Skype. Our Skype username is lrn.fm. You do have to send a contact request first if you want to do the Skype thing. We'll approve it, and then once it's approved, you'll be easily able to call us up on Skype whenever you darn well please. So Skype username, lrn.fm. Phone lines are 855-450-FREE.
In Freedom's Cause. It is an incredible audio experience. It is a two CD set that I got recently. I listened to it with my son, Jack, and my wife. We were actually doing some work on the house, and Jack was enthralled. He sat rapt listening to this this audio while, you know, my wife and I worked, and it's really great. What it does is the story of William Wallace and Robert the Bruce. It has its own score, which is incredible to think that something besides a movie, that the kind of money to get to create a score was dropped into this.
Can't be cheap.
No, it can't be. And it has huge actors. For instance, James Cosmo from Braveheart, Game of Thrones, Sons of Anarchy, Billy Boyd from Lord of the Rings, Gandar Keynes from Chronicles of Narnia, Joanne Froggatt, the head maid gal from Downton Abbey. The lady's maid. She's wonderful. She does this strong female character. This is good for boys and girls. Frankly, it's good for adults and children. I think that history buffs like me, pardon me, are going to be particularly interested in it. But the stories of freedom really resonate with people.
Yeah, so Mark's having a tough time over there. Anyway, infreedomscause.com is where you can go to check this thing out and get their family four-pack for half price with our discount code. The code is FTL. That's code FTL over at infreedomscause.com. We, of course, will talk to you about whatever happens to be on your mind. We were discussing just a moment ago the Cuban/U.S. de-escalation. There's some level of diplomatic goings on that is happening. They're going to open up an embassy for the United States in Havana. There's some restrictions that are going to be lessened. The embargo itself is not going away. That has to be done by an act of Congress. So Barack Obama apparently has done what he can to advance conversation between the two states. And that may result in, you know, the more ability for people in Cuba to engage in banking activities in the U.S. and vice versa. Fewer travel restrictions, although the bulk of them will still be in play. And I say this is great news. I think this is one of the best things that Barack Obama has done, even if it was, you know, for the wrong reasons. I don't know what his real rationale was.
I don't know the legality of this. I mean, you know, there's Barack Obama's, in my opinion, stepped beyond the roles of the executive in more than one circumstance in the last 7 years or 6 years or how long he's been doing this. And that's, you know, that's what that is. So far, no one's done anything about it. In this circumstance, it's hard for me to get too bent out of shape, even if he did step out of the role, you know, beyond the constitutional role of
Even he's saying that the Congress has to actually repeal the embargo.
They do.
So John is on the line here. He was saying that the Pope was involved as well, which there were mainstream media reports saying that. What else did you want to share about that, John?
Well, that was it mainly. Whether
why does that seem relevant to you that the Pope was involved?
Well, because he claims to be the ruler of the Christian world, you know.
Does
he? The highest authority, and vicarious fil idea means he's in vicar. He's in place of the Messiah on Earth right now.
Does anybody still believe that nonsense?
Oh, I don't believe it myself either.
No, but does anyone? But I'm asking, are there
Catholics?
Do they believe
that?
What's the percentage of people or Catholics that could possibly believe that the Pope is really much more than a well-studied priest?
Well, the Pope believes it.
You think so?
Because
I don't think he seems very down to earth.
Well, he's one of the better ones. What about the one that lasted for 30 days? That was going to get some different changes in there. You know, it was kind of interesting.
Who's this?
Yeah.
I don't know
is
who that
recent?
Was. Was that Pope John Paul the First?
That was a few years back. It might have been 15 or 20 years back. One Pope just lasted 30 days in there.
I try not to pay too much attention to the Pope.
Well, you weren't alive, probably, or darn close to it. They take old people into this job. They don't want them to actually be able to do much.
John, thanks for the call tonight. Let's go to your calls and thoughts here. The toll-free number, 855-450-FREE. We've got Al. He's in Bangor in Maine. Hey, Al, you're on Free Talk Live.
You have a very incredibly naive, womanish view of the world. Maybe you can define the word enemy. What does the word
Sorry,
enemy
did you say a womanish?
You're nothing but a
view.
Girl, Ian.
What is that supposed to mean? Are you suggesting all women are naive?
That's beside the point.
I think we know just about everything we need to know about you. Go ahead with your thoughts, Al.
Now, can you define the word enemy for me? What is an enemy?
Sounds like somebody who's arrayed against you.
Yeah. Is Cuba an enemy? Would you consider Fidel and Raul Castro enemies?
I think that they're probably enemies to their people, but enemy to me, I don't think they're much of a threat.
Yeah, to me, more enemies are likely in Washington, D.C. They are the ones who are threatening us regularly.
Yes, my dear. And they have North Korean subs possibly carrying nuclear warheads docking in Cuba. They're a terrorist state.
There are nuclear warheads right here in this country.
How do you define a terrorist state? Because to me, all states are terrorism.
Well, that's preposterous.
No, it's not. It's the definition of terrorism. You are the one calling about definitions. How do you define terrorism?
If you call all nations terrorist states, including the Vatican, Luxembourg, then you lose the idea of terrorism.
Okay, why don't you tell me, since we gave you a definition when you asked us, why don't you tell us what the definition of terrorism is?
Terrorism is violence directed towards a political end.
Or threats of violence, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, it would
Well, I mean, terror isn't really... Violence. Terror isn't really violence. Terror is like what could happen, not what does happen.
Well, it can be violence and it can be the threat of violence. Now, look, doesn't that define to a T what the state is? Isn't the state an organization that uses violence and the threat of violence toward political ends?
Absolutely not.
No. Why not?
Exists.
Stop paying your taxes. See if you don't get a little violence coming your way, buddy.
Boy, you're so naive, Al.
You're just so naive. Harriet Tubman said that she'd freed 1,000 slaves and she'd have freed 1,000 more if they would have known they were slaves. You don't even know that the organization calling itself the state will throw you in jail if you refuse to participate. You're so willing in your enslavement that, you won't even call it what it is.
Take this mocking tone. The state exists to preserve order.
That's what the people who work for the state want you to believe.
Al, do you work for the state?
The alternative is
Al, do you work for the state?
You don't know what the alternative is. There's no alternative been offered.
Well, now I see why you side with Fidel and Obama, because essentially...
I don't side with Obama for anything.
Al, I'm against the state. I don't know how long you've been listening to Free Talk Live, but I consider all states to be the enemy of human freedom.
That's right. You're a leftist, like in the French Revolution.
All right, okay. I'll be a leftist. That's fine by me. I don't really care left
Mark,
or right.
Mark, you're a registered Republican.
I'm an elected Republican. Al's sitting out there lobbing bombs, and he hasn't even done anything.
You remove the state, you have, in essence, mob rule.
I'm pretty sure that's what the state is, Al.
It's this rule of the jungle. That's why you can say that you love freedom, but you're willing to give money to a person who executes people.
Who's that?
For possessing a Bible. That would be Fidel Castro.
I don't give money to Fidel Castro. I don't even give money to the federal government. You don't know a thing about me, Al. Thanks for the call. 855-450-FREE. That's the toll-free number.
The suggestion is because allowing free people to trade in from the United States to Cuba, and that there's, of course, going to be the Cuban monopoly in the way, well, they're going to take some
money. Because Fidel will get a cut of it. 855-450-FREE. More coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. It's the live Saturday edition of the program. Dial in toll free to bring up anything you want at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733 with you tonight. You've got Ian here.
And Mark.
And you can, of course, join us over at freetalklive.com. If you like what we're doing on Free Talk Live, then please get your shopping taken care of. It is the season for holiday shopping, and it's not too late to get delivery by Christmas if you get your shopping done over through Amazon over at shop.freetalklive.com. You enter through shop.freetalklive.com. There's Amazon UK, Amazon Canada, and, of course, Amazon US. You click into the right Amazon for you. And then it's your regular Amazon shopping experience, what you're used to with the great Super Saver shipping deals and Amazon Prime and all the great reviews, the huge selection. It's all there, the same prices you're used to. It's just you're entering through our affiliate link, so Amazon gives us a cut of the sale. It's really a great way to get your shopping taken care of and help Free Talk Live all at once over at shop.freetalklive.com. That's, again, shop.freetalklive.com. Right back into your calls and thoughts. Cuba is on a lot of people's minds today due to the news coming out of Washington, D.C. this week about a de-escalation of the conflict between the United States and Cuba that's been going on now for over 50 years.
Yeah, I don't think you can argue that an embargo is anything but an act of war.
Absolutely. And so the embargo has yet to be lifted. However, there have been some loosening of restrictions, and I say that's a good thing. The last caller we had was fear-mongering that somehow if people start doing business with folks in Cuba, that that's just going to enrich Fidel Castro, or I guess he's dead. I'm sorry, Raul Castro.
No, he's not dead.
He's not dead?
Not yet,
I thought
no.
He was dead. I thought he was dead. I thought he kicked it, like
close.
2 years ago. I didn't realize that. I apologize. I reported yesterday that Fidel Castro was dead. Raul Castro, who's been in charge of the country for a couple of years, ever since he was on a deathbed, it seemed like, at one time.
He was quite ill, and that's why he turned over rulership. But as I understand,
has he been seen in public?
Poking around.
It's not one of those things where the dear leader is still alive, but hasn't actually been seen in public for
88
for 2 years. So anyway, the point being that I think it's a good thing because, you know, if you start having products and you start having people cross borders, then ideas go with them. And we can, by trading with and interacting with the people in Cuba, help spread the ideas of freedom over there. I mean, that to me is an invaluable thing.
Agreed.
To be able to do. The Castro brothers are sitting pretty either way.
Right. You're not going to make their life better or worse by what you do. They have a great life over there. They get what they want because they rule over people like a bunch of parasites.
Sure. Just like any ruling class. Let's go to Steve in Lexington, South Carolina. You're on Free Talk Live. Steve.
Hey, Ian. Hey, Mark.
Welcome, sir.
Hey, I thought Al was going to steal my thunder when he asked for an enemy definition. And I don't like to think of myself as a fearmonger, but I do like to make sure that if the sovereignty of America is protected as well as our citizens are protected.
Well, you're already starting out the right way to have a conversation. It doesn't have that sort of condescending, why don't you go ahead and define what an enemy is for me sound, which is a terrible way to have a conversation about anything. But it makes for good talk radio. Go right ahead.
Well, I'd just like to say, if you get, be patient with me for a second, I've got three little boys. I use illustrations a lot. But in my mind, I kind of think about a prison illustration. And, you know, you got a bunch of prisoners, and I think if you know anything about the prison system, when—
Spent 8 years in one.
Okay. Outstanding. I hope it was a guard.
Nope. No, I was a convict.
Oh, nice. Well, you know the dangers of that particular place when guards are inspecting, and you would agree that prisons are pretty well controlled.
Yep.
And you're amazed at the things that you can find during inspection of a prisoner's cell. And if you're one of the people that are in charge of the prisoners, you got to make sure your back's not turned. And I think
I've seen lots of guards with their backs turned. I mean, the last person you want to do violence against in a prison is a guard.
Well, absolutely, but it happens. Guards know that they need to be on their game when they're in the prison system.
All right, so how are you going to tie this into Cuba and the United States?
Well, because I think what Americans tend to do is we turn the blame back on us, and we think, well, why is the embargo in place? It's not Cuba's fault, but I would argue that it is Cuba's fault that the embargo is in place.
I would argue that Cuba doesn't exist. I would argue that there are, a group of people that rule over some poor individuals in an island that is south of Florida.
Well, great. Well, thank you for making that point, because the same people that were in charge when they had Russia's invitation to bring nuclear missiles that were going to be trained on us, the same folks that did that are still the rulers of that country.
Okay.
Which I think it's a good idea that America wants to promote democracy across the world. Now, I would give us a failing mark on when we promote democracy, we don't stick around long enough to make sure it takes root, i.e. Iraq, i.e. Afghanistan. And I think that's a weakness of America is we don't have the stomach to see a mission through.
I don't think it looks anything like a democracy. I don't think America projects on the world anything that looks particularly attractive. It probably looks a lot to them like imperialism.
Well, I think it's very hard. Now, I'm a former military member.
Okay.
So I trained very hard to fight the war in Iraq, and by God's grace, I didn't have to go do that.
Okay.
However, you're taking somebody that's been under a dictator's thumb, in just like in Iraq, the same in Cuba, and when you hand them freedom, they don't know what to do with it. They need to be walked through the path of what freedom means. And I would say maybe they view it as imperialist, but do you feel like an imperialist by being an American?
I'm not an imperialist. I don't feel like so I refuse to equate myself with the United States government. I believe that the United States government, that Washington, D.C. is a city state that rules over, that claims to rule over at least the United States, if not the world, in the way that they act and conduct themselves. That the ideals of America are completely undermined by the politicians that inhabit Washington, D.C. So I think that if there ever was a country that embodied the ideas of America, and I'm not sure that that's the case, maybe this is just stuff that I was taught in school, but if there ever was, that it is gone. It's long gone. That what the United States military is used for these days is to really work for the corporate interests, the people that pay the that give the campaign money to these politicians. That's what it really comes down to is that it's a mercenary force. Smedley Butler, who was a two-time winner of the Medal of Honor, he said as much in his book, War is a Racket, and I don't think it's changed one whit. In fact, I think it's gotten worse.
Right, and I think that's why you hear, and I think I would equate myself pretty close to the Tea Party, is that we do need to make the trudge back to our founding principles of this country. And, that's where we understand that we have a much bigger argument than we're going to solve in a conversation in the radio. But that's what we need to get back to.
Do you think the founding
is more embargo, bigger government, or smaller government?
Is an embargo bigger government or smaller government?
Is embargo embodied in larger government or smaller government?
In larger government.
There you go. So I think that being a Tea Party member, you should be for smaller government. Therefore, let's get rid of the embargo.
Right, but at the same time, you put your guard down against an enemy, like Al was trying to come up with.
How is selling some product to somebody or buying product from somebody putting your guard down against Fidel Castro or Raul Castro?
I go back to my point, is we're putting our guard down against somebody who is already proven by their alliance with Russia and their invitation to mount weapons of mass destruction 80 miles off of our coast.
You're talking about the 60s, right?
If you notice,
do you ever forgive?
I don't know if you ever noticed, but there's all kinds of products that come out of Vietnam and are delivered here to the United States, and they killed, 50,000 U.S. troops a few decades ago. Has the guard been let down? Are we worried about Vietnamese terrorism or whatever it is that you're worried about, whatever fear-mongering you're doing here?
There's a little bit of a bigger pond between us and Vietnam than there is between Cuba and America.
Well, an enemy's an enemy, right? Why does the distance matter? I mean, if they were so dedicated to destroying the U.S. capitalism or whatever it is, then they've done a terrible job by trading with us.
Yeah, I guess the bottom line is we would have to be sold, as an American, I would have to be sold by our politicians that things have changed in Cuba. And
what the hell
do
the politicians know? They barely know what's going on in Washington, D.C.
They don't read their own bills.
How about we just err on the side of freedom? How's that sound?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, with the old school American attitude is peace through superior firepower.
I'm 100% for that. But, you know, there's another old saying, which is when products and services don't cross borders, troops do. So embargoes are an act of war. You'd agree with that, right?
I would to an extent, yes. Okay. But,
Steve, thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it. We got to get some other folks on here, and that's what we're going to do. Right. Coming up in hour number three, your calls are on the way. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I mean, somebody earlier said Cuba's a terrorist state. Well, where's all the terrorism against the U.S.? I don't see it. We're coming up. Pre-talk live.
I've been told no in many different ways.
I give you an order and you're going to obey it.
Well, George, you can go this way.
You can't do that and you have to leave here.
You cannot bring signs into the rally.
Walk with me.
Well, I'm comfortable here, actually.
Whoa, excuse me.
Who do you think you
excuse
are?
Excuse me.
There is no video and audio allowed in this office.
No, I have work today. This is...
You ain't going to make it.
Wait,
you're on account. Now.
Wait a minute.
Hey! Oh my God! Unbelievable!
Why are you running?
Because you're scared of
property.
What am I being detained for?
You're being served.
What is this?
You're being served.
What is this?
Bureaucrats have a funny way of telling people no.
That's the sound of the men working on the chain.
Derek Jay's Victimless Crime Spree. You can order your copy of the Director's Cut DVD now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and it's the live Saturday edition of the program. Plenty of time for you to call in toll-free to take control of the airwaves. We've actually not gotten through this piece from Ron Paul where he was talking about what he wants for Christmas. Maybe we'll get the chance to continue that, but we ended up getting sidetracked, as tends to happen with Free Talk Live, because, you know, it's an open phone show. We'll talk to you about anything you want. Talking about the U.S.-Cuba de-escalation, or at least hopefully the beginnings of what we'll see more de-escalation. Right now, there have been some restrictions that have been loosened on diplomatic relations between the U.S. and the Cuban governments. And I'd like to make it clear that while I think this is a good thing because it could lead to more products and people crossing these borders between the two countries, which will lead to ideas crossing, meaning that more freedom-oriented ideas will come to the Cuban people. That's what I think is the case here. And either way, whether that happens or not, I still think that as a member of a so-called free country, I should be able to darn well trade with and do business with whoever I want to around the world.
That is the crux of this. And for those that support, stand against the de-escalation of this this embargo situation, is you need to answer for me. Like, this is the moral question is that needs to be answered is who the hell do you think you are to tell me I can't do business with somebody in a foreign country?
Like, yeah, exactly.
You know,
or that you can't go and visit
in a free country. Free people can do business with other free people, no matter where those free people are. You don't have a free country and you don't have free people.
Right.
Like, that's the moral conundrum you have. We're told it's the land of the free, but I got a surprise for you, folks. That's not what governments are about.
Yeah, if you're not free to go wherever it is you want to go, and it's not like, you know, the Cuban government is preventing U.S. people from coming there. You can go to Cuba, you just can't go there from the United States.
Well, as a U.S. citizen, you're putting yourself into some legal harm if you decide to go to Cuba without permission.
What happens if they find out? I heard that you just get a stern talking to.
What does the government do in any circumstance when they feel like you've broken their rules?
Well, they put
throw
you
in jail. That's
okay,
what they
so
do.
I had not heard that that was the case.
That's what I've heard.
Cuba.
That, you know, I don't know. I'm petrified of the idea, but I did have a friend who went with the Quaker from my Quaker meeting who went to Cuba on a mission. So I suspect there are some ways you can go.
Right. I mean, my understanding was you would leave from, like, Canada to go to Cuba, but what you're
saying is... A good friend of mine lives in Canada, and he goes and parties down in Havana.
So what you're saying is, though, if you did that, and then you came back to the United States, you think they would charge you criminally?
I think they potentially could. The other thing that I think that is sort of weird here is there's no embargo from Canada or Europe or lots of other wealthy places. Mm-hmm. So what's really the big whoop? I mean, is the United States really holding all the purse strings for Cuba? I mean, Cuba's an asshole because it's run by a bunch of socialist, disgusting gangsters. That's sure. why it's an asshole. It's not because of the United States embargo. And I think getting rid of the embargo can disabuse people of the notion that the Cubans of the notion that maybe things stink there because of that.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts on whatever's on your mind. Jack is listening in Indiana to WIBC in Indy. Hey, Jack.
Hi, guys. I've been listening to you for a while. First-time caller.
Thank you. Go ahead.
You know, the older I get, it seems like everything, there's a balance. You know, you don't want things to go too far one way or the other. You know, I mean, obviously, you don't want the state to control everything. But then again, on the other hand, you don't want to wind up like Ferguson or Haiti, where everybody's running around in chaos. So, I mean, there has to be a balance.
Whoa, hold on a sec. Ferguson and Haiti both have states. And they are in plentiful supply in Ferguson. I don't know about Haiti. Mark, you visited there. What was it like?
Out in the hinterland, there's not much, but mainly if you get too wealthy, you get robbed. There were some, Haiti used to be the baseball production capital of the world. And essentially, I think it was Papa Doc that just began to attempt to socialize the production of baseballs and made it, disincentivized businesses from doing business there, and they left.
Yeah, but gentlemen, if it wasn't for the National Guard and the police, they would have kept going. Okay, and they would have gotten to
If it
areas.
Wasn't for the police, they wouldn't have started.
Oh, come on.
Well, I'm just saying. You think that's...
So, wait a second. Well, all right, well, what do you want to do with a guy that robs a convenience store clerk, shoves him in the throat? What are you going to do with that guy? Just let him go?
I don't think that that's what people are arguing. You don't think that anybody is out on the streets of Ferguson because they want armed robbers to go free, do you?
No, but you have to have somebody... come and take care of them.
Agreed. 100%. I agree with you 100%. Okay. I'm just saying that what the people of Ferguson attend, you know, the people that are protesting out there, they're using this as a foil. They're saying that this is yet another unarmed black man. And a lot of people will get behind something because it's the time and the place for it. When I see this Eric Gardner situation in New York City, I see a much better sort of politically, a much better situation than the Michael Brown situation in Ferguson. But sure.
It's not better. It's just more clear.
Well, it's more
it's
clear.
More people, obvious what happened.
People are, people are sick of they're sick of poor customer service when it comes to police. It is absolutely, positively ridiculous that in 2014, in the most technologically advanced country in the world, that we don't have audio and video of police interactions going on our streets. The fact that I have to believe a police officer it's outrageous.
But gentlemen, what would the inner city look like without the police force?
I don't know. I don't have any damn cameras. All I'm asking you for is a camera.
You don't live in those areas, so you can get on the radio and play the Good Ship Lollipop. But if you didn't have police in those areas, you couldn't walk down the street.
Who said that there shouldn't be police?
See, this is what the argument turns into. Oh, you don't like the police. Hell, I don't know if I like the police. I don't have any evidence. People that are paid to collect evidence refuse to have evidence put on them. Police unions are standing against cameras. What it looks like to me is a bunch of shiftless government bureaucrats that don't want to do a good job for me.
Mistakes
are made.
You said you've been listening to the show for a while, Jack. How long?
Yes, I have. I usually work on cars on Saturday, and I have you guys on in my garage listening to you. I love you guys. I agree with you guys on freedom. I mean, we are getting our liberties taken away from us.
Well, then you must know that we've never said get rid of the police. The frustration has been with the police destroying peaceful people's lives. And if the police, by the way, there was a protest. I don't know if you heard about this. There was a protest in New York City yesterday. This was a support the police protest, you know, because there's been all these pro-police accountability protests, anti-police violence protests. And now we have finally the pro-police protest. Guess who showed up?
Nobody. It was empty.
Well, not quite. There were the family members of the police. Those essentially were the people who showed up to support the police, because the police are their own worst enemy. They could be in a position in this country where people respect them and appreciate them and bend over backwards to help them. But they have put themselves in a position where people are afraid of them, where people want to stay away from them, where people do not want to assist them, where they don't even want to talk to them because they're afraid they're going to get charged with some nonsense crime that doesn't actually involve a victim. And there's good reason for them to be afraid of that, because that's the light end of what the police might do to you. The far end is they might rape you or possibly strangle you to death or shoot you or kill you in some other manner, and there's always the chance they're going to put you in a cold cage for someone else to do those things to you.
I know, but so, I think you'd have to do that job for a while and have to deal with these people before you can
these
say that.
People.
Yeah.
No. The people you're talking about are everybody. You're talking about your brothers and sisters and your friends and your family members and your coworkers. These are the people that are being picked on a regular basis by the police. And all I've ever said here on Free Talk Live recently has been that the police need to do the right thing. They need to stop aggressing against peaceful people. If all the cops were doing was going after murderers, rapists, arsonists, property-destroying individuals, and other people who create real victims where there's a complaining party, then if that's all the police were doing, you wouldn't see protests in the streets about that, because the police wouldn't be negatively affecting as many people as they do today. They hurt people all the time. Go to any courthouse, district court, and sit in and watch an arraignment, and you count. Get a little scratch sheet of paper in front of you and start checking off how many people are being arraigned for crimes with a victim, and how many people are being arraigned for what are called malum prohibitum, so-called crimes that have no victim. I guarantee you it'll be at least 70%, if not 80 or 90% of the people in that courtroom who are there for not harming anybody whatsoever. So I've never said we don't need police. I support the idea of protection, but that is not what the police are doing. That is not the service that they are offering, and I thank you, Jack, for the call tonight.
Thank you.
There's more coming up here, 855-450-FREE. 855-450-3733. You take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk Live's Live Saturday edition. This is Free Talk Live. You dial toll free here at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Join us online at freetalklive.com. More of your calls coming up.
Are you interested in the future of Bitcoin and the peer-to-peer economy? You can head to the second annual Bitcoin conference in Texas. It's at the Moody Theater in downtown Austin on March the 28th and 29th of next year. Speakers, exhibitions, a great opportunity to do some networking, as well as they're hosting the second $1 million Bitcoin 2.0 hackathon. They did this last year, and it was incredible. There were four businesses, projects that were launched out of it. I think projects probably a better term. Four projects that were launched out, each got $250,000. Storage.io is one of them, and I think that's going to be really great. Mm-hmm. Another one is they were going to do ride sharing through the blockchain. Just fascinating stuff. This is how technology, our lives are made better, and I'm really excited. If you're the fact is that at the Texas Bitcoin Conference, they're going to highlight what Bitcoin means to everyone, as well as heavily concentrate on where technology can go beyond just being a currency. If you want a glimpse into the future, you want to be in Austin, Texas, on March 28th and 29th. You head over to TexasBitcoinConference.com to get your tickets. If you use coupon code FTL, that's FTL as in Free Talk Live, you get a $25 discount off the $150 admission price, which is, of course, very affordable for these kind of conferences. But not only that, the Texas Bitcoin Conference will also donate $25 to Sean's Outpost with every ticket purchased when you use that code. So you're getting an amazing price to a great event, and now you're also helping Sean's Outpost with their outreach and assistance to people who are far less privileged. Free Talk Live was there last year. We had a great time, and we're excited to be part of it again in 2015. Head over to TexasBitcoinConference.com and get your tickets to be part of the future. It's TexasBitcoinConference.com.
Whether you want to talk about Cuba or the police or whatever's on your mind, you just dial in toll-free here at 855-450-FREE as we go back to the phones and the fun. Let's talk to Brian, listening in Battle Creek to WBCK-FM. Hey, Brian. Brian? Going once. Brian in Battle Creek. Hey.
Yes. Can you hear me?
We have you now. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay. All right. I guess I'm looking to get a clarification from you guys. I'm not quite sure what you guys are standing for as far as you believe that there should be no government. No. I know you guys said that there should be laws and should be police, but you would have to have a government. You'd have to have borders, you know, limits on them. I don't think you guys are saying it should be every man for himself, but I'm not quite sure where you guys stand on that.
I'm not quite sure where I stand on it either, but I can tell you this, that we do not here in the United States. We, 236 years ago when, or whatever it was, the Constitution was penned and ratified, was probably not the pinnacle of human governance that the world's ever going to see. Do you think that there's going to be something, some new technology in government in the future?
Oh, I don't know, but
I suspect.
I know, just
it seems like a fair bet,
nature,
doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
But, right. So all I'm saying is that monopolies, which is what, what the United States government, Washington, D.C., essentially is. They propose to rule the world. They use carrots and sticks to control other governments around the world. All I'm saying is the competition is, so far, competition has been the best, most humane, most moral way of moving forward to getting progress. And I think we should have competition. Now, when it comes to government, government's essentially an organization that proposes to protect you, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then why in the world do I need to have a monopoly protect me when we know that monopolies provide poor customer service and rarely allow it for innovation? Why can't we have competition? Why can't I have protection services brought to me the same way I have fire insurance?
Well, I mean, you would have the United States government to protect you. You wouldn't be able to shop around and say, well, I want the Cubans to protect us.
I'm not really interested in the Cubans protecting me, but okay. I may choose the United States government. But see, governments are tied to land masses.
But you can't shop around, Mark.
Right.
You're not allowed.
That's the problem. Governments are tied to land masses. About 300 years ago, the Puritans were executing the Quakers in the Massachusetts Bay Colony because they could not imagine the idea of religion not being tied to land masses. Today, you're living next door to somebody who's a completely different religion than you, likely, or at least a different denomination or whatever, and you're not trying to execute them. It's because religions, here, at least here in the Western world, are generally not tied to land masses. I wonder what it would be like if governments weren't tied to land masses. They were just organizations that provided protection. And I'll never know that because there are several organizations that claim monopoly privilege over the land mass I live in, and they do not want competition.
Well, I mean, people need to be able to band together for protection.
Sure.
And to better their standard of living.
Yep.
But just human nature such that there's always going to be somebody who's wanting to take control over this area and wanting to impose their will on everybody who's in this area. And we're not going to be able to get away from that.
Are you saying that because my insurance company provides that I can choose between insurance companies, that some insurance company is going to say that we have this area exclusively and will kill or harm any other insurance company that attempts to do business here? Because
no,
I haven't seen that happen.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about as far as I've heard you guys talk before about how you didn't. I know this isn't what you said, but it was something along the lines of, that you didn't believe in governments, you didn't want governments, and I was trying to wrap my head around
that. I believe in self-government. I'd just like to clarify.
I believe in government. I just don't believe in a state, which is an organization that claims a monopoly in government.
Yeah, I think that's what we're trying to get clear. And, Brian, thanks for your call tonight. I appreciate it. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE.
If I could just for a moment, the fact is that the state, as we know it today, has been handed down to us from the idea of autocrats. Kings and princes ruled over areas, dukes and barons and these folks. They ruled over areas, and really we have nothing different today. Counties are called counties because counts ruled them, okay? The only difference between property taxes and quit rents is a couple of hundred years and who they're paid to. You know, these ideas are simply, you know, now you have the king is, you know, the majority of the voting public instead of the king. And that's not really any better of a system. We're moving from the master slave paradigm into a paradigm of more human freedom. I'm only proposing more human freedom. I am not saying that we don't need protection. I would like to try something new in the area of government, but I can't because people won't let me. The government won't let me. Why won't they let me? Because monopolies hate competition.
Let's talk to Will. He's in Indianapolis listening to WIBC. Hello, Will.
Hi there. How are you?
Welcome, sir. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I guess I have a few questions for you guys. My first one being, do you guys have an affiliate outside of Indianapolis? Because the station I was listening to cut out on me.
You mean you're driving.
Outside of Indy.
Correct. No, I don't think so.
You're going to have to go to freetalklive.com and listen to the live stream.
Yeah, you can go and grab our live stream over at freetalklive.com on the Listen Live page. And there's
when you go there, you can get the archive of your call later.
Yep, so that's one question. We'll let you do another one. Hang on. We're going to come back to you, though. We got to keep things short because we've got a lot of folks that want to comment here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We do have stations all over the United States, by the way, just not right outside of Indy besides WIBC. We're coming up.
We'd like to invite you to visit FreeKeen.com. FreeKeen.com features audio, video, and blogs chronicling the transition to a voluntary society. FreeKeen.com also has comments and discussion forums so you can be heard. FreeKeen.com.
Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free here at 855-450-FREE. It's the live Saturday edition of the program. We've got time for you with your thoughts, but if for whatever reason you're just too busy, you can't get home in time to pick up the phone, you don't want to call while you're driving or whatever, we do this 7 nights a week. And you can join us, of course, for the live Sunday edition tomorrow. You're welcome to call in any night of the week, anytime you want, about anything that's on your mind. Hence the name Free Talk Live. With you tonight, Ian here.
And Mark.
And it's not too late, although it's getting close to being too late, to get Sherry's Berries on order for delivery before Christmas. You can get an amazing deal on these delicious, freshly dipped strawberries. They're dipped in white milk and dark chocolatey goodness. Also decorated with chocolate chips, decorative swizzle, and or nuts. You can go to berries.com to get the special offer, which is available to you as a Free Talk Live listener. It's starting at $19.99. That's over a 40% savings. But you're going to want to take my advice and double the berries for just $10 more. These are amazing quality strawberries. We've had a number of Sherry's Berries here, and we've never had a bad one.
Always a pleasure.
There's never been. We're always just excited, like giddy school children. A Sherry's Berries box shows up, and I like when it happened. I called you, didn't I, Mark? I was like, it's here, Mark. I didn't even know it was coming, but it's here. And they're really great. I mean, I've always been impressed by the quality of Sherry's Berries, and so will the person for whom you're buying this as a gift, or just give it to yourself because you're gonna want to have some. Berries.com. Go there, berries.com. Click the microphone in the top right-hand corner and type in FTL to get the special offer starting at just $19.99 for the berries. But remember, you double the berries for just $10 more. Again, it's berries.com. Code is FTL, and time's running out, so don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. It's a perfect gift without all the hassle of shopping for folks. And how can you go wrong with chocolate-covered strawberries? This is gourmet quality, great stuff.
They're really great.
Berries.com, codes FTL. Let's go back to Will. He's in Indianapolis, or he was. He's driving out of the area. And Will, you're on Free Talk Live. You had another question for us. We'll give you a shot for one more. If you've got more questions, please call us another night. I want to make sure you get them all in, but we also want to get other folks on.
Sure, totally understandable. And I guess it's less of a question than more of just a discussion point. You know, with the North Korea, you know, the hacking scandal and the movie being pulled, I think it's particularly important to sort of, you know, have this idea that, you know, at this point, politics aren't aren't going to spur change within North Korea. You know, North Korea has, you know, one of the worst, you know, human rights records in the entire world. You know, it's, you know, they have these 19th century, 20th century gulags that are still in existence with hundreds of thousands of people in them. But I think what's important to note now that North Korea is getting all this exposure again, you know, is that change needs to come from within the country. And I believe, you know, there are organizations out there trying to spur this change. You know, when the government can't feed its own people, the people will turn to illegal means to feed themselves.
And they've done
that.
Yeah, they're pretty good at not feeding themselves, feeding their people.
You know, yeah, it's they're great at not feeding their people.
Yeah.
But you know, what we've seen is that you know, these people have begun to create these highly illegal black markets. And what they found too is that this foreign media is starting to come in through these black markets, which, you know, South Korean radio waves are starting to get into North Korea, and they're getting these, you know, sort of these jailbroken radios that are spurring all this change.
They're My getting thumb drives, that, all kinds of stuff.
Yep. Oh yeah, and that's key, because the change really isn't going to come from world leaders or political, political means. Exactly.
If the United States hasn't figured out anything at this point, is that you cannot export democracy or freedom or a republic or whatever one wishes to use for a term. People have to – this country, people rose up in a revolution, demanded their freedom, and the idea that this country that supports kings and dictators around the world is going to export freedom and democracy to other countries, it just sounds ridiculous.
Well, what they can do is they can back the F off and leave these other countries alone, and then allow for more products to cross the border, you know, legitimately.
Well, people in South Korea are sending balloons over with the movie, with this movie, apparently a pirated version of this movie, The Interview, on it, and they're doing all kinds of stuff over.
Will, anything else you want to share real quick?
No, I think that's about it. But I mean, I don't know if plugging nonprofits is frowned upon here, but there is a great organization called Liberty in North Korea.
Yes, as
who
a matter
actually
of fact.
Has set up a. Has set up a, you know, an underground railroad system where people can donate their money and actually directly help the people of North Korea sort of spur change back at home.
Yeah, they're a great group. We actually had them come to where we are here in Keene, New Hampshire. They were on their Jangmadang tour, which is Korean.
In fact, I'm doing that exact same thing next semester, so I'm really excited for it. And I just
meaning
to
you're going to be
out.
On meaning you're going to be on their tour. You'll be one of the people.
I will be a nomad. Yes.
Ah, very cool, man. Well, thanks, and give us a call when you're out and about on that tour. It'd be interesting to hear your experiences. And Will, don't forget to check us out online over at freetalklive.com. And
North Korea is
tonight.
A big topic on this show.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff.
Great.
Thanks for the call,
great.
Dude.
Well, this is my
appreciate
first time.
It,
I appreciate it.
Very good. Liberty. Yeah, that's libertyinnorthkorea.org. They there was some very young folks. Maybe one of them, I think, was fresh out of high school, one fresh out of college. So, you know, young folks came through here.
I don't know what Jangmadang is, but it sounds...
Jangmadang. That is North Korean. There's Korean for black markets.
Okay.
Essentially. I mean, that's a rough translation, I'm sure. But that's essentially what's been happening over there since people did starve in the 1990s due to the government being in charge of feeding folks. They have figured out, well, okay, we can't count on Kim Jong-il to put food in our mouths, so we're going to have to figure this out ourselves. And they did. And
some great leader.
Yeah, and they created black markets, and essentially they're not legal still to today. Here we are 20 years later, essentially. But they're tolerated, right? Like, you know, the people in charge in North Korea know that the black market is what's keeping their people from starving to death.
And rising up in revolution.
So, you know, they kind of let them exist from what I understand. It's pretty pretty fascinating stuff. And the folks in Liberty in North Korea are out and about touring around right now talking about this or giving presentations at high schools and colleges and churches and wherever it is they can get an audience. We had actually a presentation that was going to happen at Keene State College, but unfortunately there was a conflict and we ended up having it at the Keene Activist Center, and there was only maybe five or so people that came out because it was a last minute change of location. But man, it was really good. I mean, they were really great. They're spot on at their presentation. You could tell they'd practiced it a lot. You know, they weren't referring to notes or anything like that, not even really looking at the PowerPoint presentation.
Wonderful.
Really well done. I was impressed. We'll continue here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Let's talk to Helen in Ithaca. You're on Free Talk Live. Helen.
Oh, hi there. Yeah. There's like some really bad news on the air about a half hour ago. that this gentleman who, I did say gentleman, that was kind of stupid, but he killed a girlfriend in Baltimore, and then he just went to New York City. I'm calling from upstate New York. And he just randomly, blew the brains out of two cops.
Ooh,
jeez.
Yeah, I think I saw a headline about that. Yikes.
I hadn't heard anything about it.
Yeah.
Was that what you wanted to share with us? Was just that had happened, or your thoughts on something else?
Yeah, because I think that it has to do with the cops, not handling the cases where there was an unarmed African-American person, and they killed him. So maybe, I don't know what this guy's motivation was. I don't even know who the heck he is. But
they've killed a lot of unarmed people, and certainly there's people who are upset about that. Obviously, violence isn't going to solve the problem of violence, and unfortunately,
yeah,
some...
I think, you've got to have law enforcement people, and they have a real risky job, and if I was married to one, every day I'd be saying a prayer that the guy came home,
If I was married to one, I'd be asking him why he's not arresting the bad cops. Personally,
well, I mean, they were just sitting in a car, and this Looney Tune just came in and just blew.
No, well, that's what I was saying, Helen. It's not a good idea to use violence to solve problems. I don't support what the Looney Tunes guy did.
I totally agree with you.
But I can understand if that was his motivation, was to get the cops back. I can understand the anger, and I thank you for the call.
You had anything to lose.
I appreciate your call tonight. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I don't want to see the violence, but it wouldn't surprise me if we see more of it over time as the police continue their aggression against peaceful people. It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, and there is enough time for you if you dial in right now. 855-450-FREE is the toll-free number. You can join us via Skype as well. Our Skype username is lrn.fm. If you enjoy this program and you want to help support Free Talk Live, then please dig deep and find $5 a month that you can send to us. Now, the way you can do it is easy. You can go and sign up for PayPal using any major credit card. Use Visa or MasterCard as well through amp.freetalklive.com. That's AMP, as in advertise, market, and promote, A-M-P, amp.freetalklive.com. That $5 a month we invest into Free Talk Live. We use it to get on more radio stations. We advertise our show to the program directors of the world to try to get Free Talk Live on the air. We've got over 150 stations. We're close to 160. And we could have hundreds more. It's possible. We just need to have the marketing budget to get the show out there. And you can help us with that. You can also help us bring new internet listeners on board, expand our satellite footprint around the world so people who don't have internet access can listen to us. We're being listened to right now in a good large swath of Africa, much of which has very little to no internet access. And we can make that more possible with your $5 a month. So go to amp.freetalklive.com. You will get perks. You'll get access to the AMP Only Facebook group, the AMP Only call-in lines, the AMP Only podcast, and more. Go and learn all the details and get signed up over at amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com. Back to the phones and the fun. Mac is in Seattle. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Mac.
How you doing, fellas?
Hey, Mac. Go ahead, sir.
Just wanted to tell you about my memories of Cuba. I was in the U.S. government's socialist military for a total of 10 years. I was in the Navy for 4, and I was in the Coast Guard for 5, and then I did some reserve time. When I was in the Navy, I never had to hold anybody at gunpoint. But when I was in the Coast Guard, I did, and it was in Cuba. We picked up some refugees that were floating around in little rinky-dink boats. Basically, they were like bathtubs. We rescued them. We had to keep them outside the skin of the ship, that is to say, on the deck, because if they came inside the skin of the ship, that was considered American soil, and then we'd have to let them come to America, which the government would not let us do that.
Now, it's interesting. This is really interesting part of U.S. foreign policy. Because Cubans are considered political refugees, if they do touch American soil, they can claim refugee status. But
right.
they employ the Coast Guard to essentially prevent them from doing that. So, you know,
right.
if you don't want them to be political refugees, declare them as pariahs, persona non grata, the poorest of people in the Western Hemisphere, among the poorest of people in Western Hemisphere are terrorists and they cannot come to America. They'll bring their socialist ideas or whatever it is that you say. Just keep them out. Why do they play this double game?
Right, exactly. Well, there was about 20 of them who acted like, well, it's no big deal, we'll just try again. But there was one guy who claimed that he was a political dissident. He was an older man. He was probably an adult or close to it when the revolution happened. He was that old. He had scars on his back that were sort of obscuring his great big tattoo that he had of Jesus Christ on a cross. And he claimed that he was being persecuted for his economic, political, and religious views in Cuba. And so because of that, we couldn't just turn around and bring him right back as we normally did. We had to hold him there. We had to bob around out in the water, wasting fuel and food while the State Department contacted the Cuban government to find out what we're going to do with this guy. It was finally established that we were going to drop him off at a Cuban Navy base, the Cuban Navy, not Guantanamo, but the Cuban Navy.
I'm sure the Cuban Navy will treat him well.
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah, I'm sure he went there and got his butt beat is what happened. But anyway, the 20 that weren't claiming that they wanted refugee status, they just went merrily on their way, as far as I know. I mean, as far as anybody knows. But this guy, he stood there while our captain, who spoke fluent Spanish, talked with some muckety-muck from the Cuban government, and I was ordered. They handed me an M16 and told me to hold this man at gunpoint, stay out of the camera range because they had their news, the state news cameras were there.
Wonderful.
They were all ready and willing to film a guy being held at gunpoint by the U.S. You know, that would make great propaganda. Well, these cameras were really old, and it took a while to set them up. So but just about the time they got set up, we would move off camera, us guys with the guns. And I was ordered to shoot him if he tried to make a run for it and get inside the skin of the ship. I was ordered to shoot him. So
it's
not something I'm very proud of, as you can tell. So anyway, that's my memory of Cuba. So just wanted to kind of throw that out there for your consideration.
Yeah, man. Thanks for sharing that tonight, Mac.
I can only imagine how much different that guy's life would have been if he could have gone in there inside the skin of that ship. It's terrible.
Appreciate the call. Yep. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. So, the Cuba situation, I hope that we'll see some development on this, although I'm not going to get my hopes up for it really too much because, well, it would require an act of Congress to actually lift the embargo, to make it so that you could travel to Cuba and or do more business with the folks over in Cuba. And that's going to require an act of Congress, which is probably not going to happen within the next month. And then, of course, the Republicans are going to be taking over out there fairly soon. And how likely it will be under Republican control, I don't know. It will be interesting to see if a discussion gets started at the very least, on a national level about this. I would like to see that happen.
Yeah, I just think it's silly that there's this, it sounds like a political football, really, is what it is, right? Like,
of course it is.
You know, that's what it's gotten turned into, and there's no point in that. The Republican governor of Florida, Jeb Bush, at one point, he had a Cuban wife. There's Cuban senators. What is the point in this whole argument? We're just talking, you're not going to make Raul or Castro's life worse Fidel Castro's life worse by embargoing Cuba. We've tried this for 50 years. When you try something for 50 years and it fails, that's the very definition of insanity. Continuing to do the same thing and expecting different results.
So I had told you, Mark, that I was going to summarize the other point because we talked about the Cuba thing for a solid hour and a half last night and we didn't get a single person, unlike tonight. We did get them tonight. But last night, we didn't get a single person to call in and explain why Cuba, lowering the restrictions on Cuba was a bad idea. But we did get some Facebook comments. And one of the comments was, so there was the viewpoint of, oh, everything Obama does is bad. He couldn't possibly do anything right. And Cuba bad, terrorism, etc.
Yeah.
And then there was
moves the ball forward.
The other viewpoint was that, well, now Cuba's ruined. Now all the corporations are going to go in and destroy the culture there. That was the other objection.
The culture of poverty.
Poverty.
Right.
Of starving and, eking out an existence and not having a job and living on welfare. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just wander through some poverty-stricken area of the world with your Starbucks and tell them how corporations are ruining the world. Punch it up on your iPhone and show them how corporations are ruining the world. Then go back to your place and eat all the food that was brought to you by corporations. Look, I'm not a fan of corporations. A corporation is a government piece of paper that allows people to dodge their responsibilities in doing business.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people that are against corporations are against business. And business is really essentially the only alternative to violence. Business is doing is trading between people.
Nobody in their right mind is in any way legitimately afraid of the Red Chinese. Because Chinese folks are not going to be attacking their biggest customer. There's so much business that goes on between the United States, businesses here and businesses in China, many of which are to some extent state operated, as I understand it. But there's so much business that goes on, it would be suicide. It would be economic, financial suicide for them to do anything like invade or somehow use violence against the United States. But yet, there are still some people who believe that. They live in fear. The Red Chinese are just waiting out there for the right moment to attack. And sorry, there's just no reason why that would make any sense whatsoever.
Now, why would China want to attack a country that it practically owns?
Well, that's another good point.
Yeah.
So, Ron Paul, we never got to finish his piece on shutting down the government. He says, get rid of the Federal Reserve. He goes on to say, get rid of the IRS. The foreign policy, the militaristic foreign policy should be high on the shutdown list. Bring the troops home, he says. And, of course, end the insane spying programs and end these crazy government police programs like the TSA, the NSA, the CIA. Ron Paul's calling for all of this as his Christmas gift. Unfortunately, Santa Claus cannot fulfill those particular wishes as much as we might like to see them fulfilled.
There you go. I wish Ron Paul would get some of the things he's asked for here, all of the things he's asked for, but I don't see the IRS going anywhere.
He also calls for an end to all forms of welfare. I'll link to this full piece from Ron Paul on our Facebook, Google Plus, and Twitter. You can access those easily by going to news.freetalklive.com. And Mark will not be back until 2015. We'll continue live shows every single night with our wonderful co-hosts, starting with tomorrow's Live Sunday show. We'll see you then online in the meantime at freetalklive.com. Bye-bye, Mark.
Bye.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. It's physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101reasonsfilm.com. 101reasonsfilm.com.